Broadcasting live from Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, live from Studio J. And in the studio, we have the band Sweet Demon. Can you hear me, folks?
We can hear you.
Hey, what's up?
We have Liftoff. Wonderful. Why don't we get started?
Okay, sounds great. You ready? One, two, three, four.
What is it you're thriving on that makes you so prolific? Are you singing a siren song with the tongue of a thieving mystic? Of all the dances I have seen, yours is among the rarest movements that silently distort a pristine mirror of awareness. But there are missing pieces, and the puzzle is always shifting. Gazing within the creases, a subtle storm is lifting. Dimension, I just might kiss your neck. My heart is stalled in an extension of unearned ignorant respect. Rose-colored glasses have turned blood red, and the scene is looking grim. Everyone around you is dead, and your cheeks break in your grin.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is live from Studio J, and you know what time it is. It's in the 5 o'clock hour, so we have a live performance. And today we have Sweet Demon. Thanks for coming down.
Oh, we're so happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. All right. Well, I normally say go around the room, but it's going to be a short trip this time. So why don't you quickly introduce yourselves, your name, and what you do?
Sure. My name is Rose, Rose Carver. We're doing first and last names. And I write the songs for Sweet Demon. I play guitar and I sing.
And my name is Alex Newham. I also play guitar, a little bit more of a backup position.
We usually have a full band with us, but, you know, they have day jobs, so they just couldn't make it. But we're here, and we love playing these songs. So,
so they're worried about eating and living under a roof. How dare they?
I know. I tried to convince them, you know, that we had this radio spot and how important that is, but... They just disagreed, so, you know.
They must have heard about me. That's what
yeah.
it was. All right, well, why don't you tell us real quick, hypothetically, if we did have a full band, and if we saw you live, of course, and all of you were on board, what would we have besides the two of you then?
Well, we would have our bassist, Mr. Steve Dunning, who is just a magician with all things string instruments, and then Mr. Brendan Tracy, who plays in a plethora of bands around town, one of them being Toeheads, also the Stags, or a.k.a. the Pontiac Stags. There are people that play around town. I think the Stags are no longer together. I think they broke up, you know. But Brendan is an amazing drummer, an amazing person. Both of them are. I wish they were here, you know, but they're here in spirit. And we, you know, I wish they had, like, a really good excuse, like a Valentine's Day date or their, you know. They had something very important, but no, just normal jobs.
I miss them.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So just the four then?
Or? Just the four. Well, yes, four. That's us. We're 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. I was just looking at the credits here, and it looked like there was five names.
That's yeah. So Mr. Scott Murphy, he produced the album You Are a Deathless Beauty, which is the one we just made. And he also, you know, he's also a wizard, I guess. Steve's a magician. He's a wizard. And he plays keys and violin like no other. And so he added some violin to the tracks, which is just breathtakingly beautiful, and some keys to add some eerie background ambiance.
Dude might be from outer space.
Yeah, I think he might be an alien. A nice one, a really nice alien, but an alien.
That's all right. We welcome all kinds here at the station, so that's cool.
Thank you. I mean, you let us in.
Right
so.
On.
That's right. Okay, so does he join in sometimes for live performances then?
Yeah, he did, actually, for the first time last night. He's also a sound guy, so he does sound at many venues across Detroit, including one called Deluxe Flux, which we played last night, and he was doing sound, and so he said, hey, do you think you could maybe lend us some violin, take a break from doing sound? And so he did. And it was awesome. I mean, I've never had that happen before. And it was just really, really beautiful. It was a really great experience. And it was also my birthday. So I was very excited.
So again, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, I could kick myself. When I was in grade school, I got kind of like pushed into playing an instrument like most kids are. And it was the violin. And I played for like 3 or 4 years. But unfortunately, I wasn't... exposed to like something outside of just the standard school songs, you know, the plays, the whatever. And I didn't realize what you could do with a violin until I got older, and then I could kick myself. It's like, man, you know, some of the greatest pop songs, rock and roll songs, all, you know, they had a lot of great violin in there.
Yeah, I mean, the violin adds a depth of emotion, I think, in songs that, you know, is unmatched, in my opinion.
Eerily beautiful.
All right, I'm going to have to catch you folks when he's on there, too. That would
well,
be fun.
He's on the CD. If you, I mean, he does a violin solo on one of the songs, and it was 3 a.m., you know. We had been recording all day, and he just spit out this just beautiful symphony, one-man symphony. So it's amazing.
He almost took over, huh?
Yeah, he did. He just got really into it, I think.
nothing wrong with that, just... You got to put him back in his cage when he's done. So. All right, why don't we keep it going? So we got Dreams Within Things.
That's right.
All right.
And a million
Live from Studio J with Sweet Demon. All right. We spoke for a little bit before we started this. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where did the name come from, Rose?
The Sweet Demon name came from within, deep within, you know. There was a time with a friend of mine where we, you know, we ate a funny thing, and then it just came to us like magic. And we said it out loud together almost at the same time. And so I was like, I'm naming my band that before he could say that. So kind of took it. Also, I think the demon's here with us today because I just broke a string.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I guess I got a little too into it.
That's all right. We'll figure out something. If you want to keep doing that, I can talk to Alex for a second.
Okay. Alex is... What?
We don't have another string, so I think we should play.
Okay. Well, I will just play the songs then without the string.
Which one is it?
It's the high E, so...
The high E. I guess depending on the songs, I guess you can probably get by them.
Yeah.
I hope.
I mean, we're going to have to, so we'll do it.
We'll just have to do a disclaimer, you know? Just...
Yeah. I mean, I play the low E a little more, you know, all things considered.
You do have two E's.
Yeah. I mean, why do we need two? We can just use one.
So you have a spare when one breaks. That's why.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So you were explaining when we were talking before how Sweet Demon is kind of like light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going with there?
Yeah. So it's kind of an examination of the bothness, as we like to call it. The bothness that dwells within all things. It's both good and bad all the time. It's always both. You know, there's two types of people in this world.
Mm-hmm.
People who see everything in black and white and people who don't.
Yeah, I've always seen things in many, many colors, but I won't go into that. But think about it, though, with today's theme, it's Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
You can also say, like, when it comes to love, there's a lot of light and dark.
Yeah, I had someone tell me, you know, the more you hate, the more you love, and the depths of emotion, you know, could go in either direction endlessly.
Well, I'm actually have a degree in psychology, and I can tell you, it's like you can't learn to hate someone more than you love at the same time.
You can't?
Well, you can possibly, but it's not very likely.
Okay.
That's where you get you've heard about murders for passion.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree that that's out of love. In my opinion.
No, I didn't mean that. Oh. I'm just saying that loving somebody, it enables you to be hate them more and be more angry at them.
Yes, yes. That's what I was saying, too. I definitely think that the deeper you love, the deeper that anger can go, right? Because it's just so vulnerable,
so
deep down.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Who do you get more angry at times than your loved ones? Your mother, your sister, your whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A stranger does something to you and you just get, whatever.
But right.
When somebody very close to you does the exact same thing, it just sets a fire inside of you.
It sizzles.
Yes.
You know? It sizzles down deep.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I hear you. And I agree. You know, and I think that's why I really like writing songs that kind of look from both perspectives, that there can be beauty in sadness, and that makes it beautiful, so it's no longer sad.
Mm-hmm. Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Why don't we do another one?
Sure. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
Suffer fools wisely. Oh, brother, that Jean must have skipped me. Here comes another fool to hypnotize me. Do I submit to my design, lodged in indecision for probably longer than one lifetime. I had a dream you lost your beginners. in the search for something real. Delusions of focus while still spinning on the wheel. And we all have our saga under Kali's moonlight. Baptized in the sands of time. But pulverized in a screaming bind.
Live from Studio J with Sweet Demon. All right. Is it okay if I ask you, is that kind of autobiographical or is that just something you came up with?
Man, I don't even know anymore, you know? I mean, it's autobiographical, but it's also so projected into the stories of people in my life. So it's almost, that song's almost like my story is so similar to other people's stories in love and trying to feel like we can finally do it this time or something. And then always just running into the same problems, the same things that pull us away from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Oh, it does. It does. History repeats itself and not more often than when it comes to love. It always seems like everybody always keeps going after the same type of person. No matter how many times a relationship fails, you find yourself, you know, hooking up with somebody that's just like the one before. And then you wonder why it doesn't work out right.
Yeah, it just, I feel like that song and a lot of my songs are trying to figure that out. You know, like what is really going on here? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we able to learn from our mistakes, experiences, right? Just what's really going on? Why am I repeating the same dramas of my parents, right? Why am I, what am I trying to fill? What am I trying to do?
Yeah, Yeah, but we do it anyway, don't we? One day we wake up and like, oh, man, I'm just like mom, you know?
I mean, my mom is pretty great. You know, she has, everybody's got their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But my mom is spectacular. So if I can end up like her, I'll be good to go, I think.
Hopefully she's listening or she'll listen to the podcast.
Well, she's in Florida. She's probably on the beach, you know.
Oh, lucky
she's
her.
She's a snowbird.
A snowbird on the beach?
Well, she flies away from the snow.
Oh, okay.
She just can't handle Michigan in February. It's not her jam, so to speak.
I don't blame her. When you get older, it gets really old, you know.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. So she's just like, if I can be on the beach for a whole month, then I'm going to decide to do that. I support her.
All right, so this project, actually, I was reading on the website. It started out as a solo project, really, originally, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It was just something that I needed to do. I'm not trying to be a famous musician. If that happens, like, okay, I don't expect it. I don't want it. But I have songs that I need to sing and write and just be expressive because it makes me feel alive. It makes me feel okay. It makes me feel like I have a voice, a place in the world. Mm-hmm. And so it started off as just me writing songs, and I was actually in a band called March of the Ant, and I played bass. And up until that point, I thought music writing was like had to be a certain way, and you had to do it, learn the chords, and you had to figure out how to write the song structure, and it had to be like this, and if you don't do it like this, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who was just like, no, you don't have to do that. You just play a note, and then if it feels good, you pick another note. And if that one feels good, you pick another one and then put all those notes that feel good together, and there you go. You have a song.
And just keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's great. So then eventually you decided you needed people to collaborate with you?
I just gathered them. You know, they just wanted to play. I didn't seek them out. It just kind of, I mean, Steve, my bassist, he played in March of the Ant. Alex is just like my best friend and just my favorite person. So, and he's just an amazing musician, so he's gracious enough to play guitar on my...
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay, so she didn't kidnap you or anything like that, right?
I'm here of my own volition.
Okay.
There, he said it.
Just making sure. All right, that's great. It's wonderful when you can find people to play with that you get along with and you can make good music with.
Yeah, there's really nothing like it. To feel connected, to feel... You know, like you're creating something together that is meaningful and beautiful, mm-hmm. and sharing it with people. I mean, I love playing shows. I just say yes to any show that's asked of me. Last week I went to Flint and played a show, and it was so fun. There was like a few people there, you know, and those few people came up and told me that they liked it. And that was totally worth it to me.
Sounds like a plan. I've had many musicians I've met over the years, and after they do it for a while, they tell me, it's like, look, I would rather play before like just a handful of people that are truly interested in what I'm doing and they're paying attention and they like what I'm doing than to be in this big crowded room with like 300 people and 80% of them aren't even paying attention. They're just too busy chatting, talking over the music and et cetera, et cetera, you know?
Yeah, or you're playing these songs that you don't feel anymore because they're crowd pleasers, right? You know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine Rolling Stones are still probably playing like Light Me Up or stuff like that, you know? And I just can't imagine playing songs that I wrote
50 years ago.
I just can't.
For them, it is.
Right. I feel like, what, are you just a robot, you know, just going through the motions? Do you feel... Is there, I guess I haven't experienced that. I have no idea what that feels like to pass all the way through into, you know, extreme fame. Like, mm-hmm. it's got to be a very bizarre experience.
No, but I guess if the paycheck gets large enough, you figure out a way, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Once they put enough zeros after that one in the check, you're like, okay, I can get through this.
Right, and there we go with capitalism just ruining music.
Yeah.
Just like everything else. No, I'm just kidding. Capitalism, you're great.
No, you're preaching to the choir. I could talk for hours about that one, but I won't. All right, why don't we do another one?
Okay. I hope this song doesn't sound really weird without my string, but we'll give it a whirl.
You can do it.
Three. My hands are my doers all, and I'm building a home. Well, I've got plans and nothing to hide except for these blueprints engraved inside. I could spend my whole life gathering pentacles till my cells start to rust, just like the rest of us. But I am not evil, I'm just a flippin' ego. Just a flapping ego in the sun. In the sun.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, with live from Studio J with the band Sweet Demon. All right.
Yeah.
So tell me, Rose, influences as far as like singers, songwriters?
Yeah, I would love to talk about my influences. In fact, last weekend when I was at Flint, I got the best compliment from a man named Larry. Larry was in his 70s, and I was talking to him the whole night. He went to Woodstock, said it was heaven on earth. You know, we had a good conversation, and he stayed around and heard my set. I told him my influences were like Joni Mitchell, which I love Joni Mitchell. You know, I don't think I sound necessarily like Joni Mitchell, but, you know, the poetry and the meaning, you know, the spirit behind why I'm doing it, why she did it, I feel a kinship there, a kindred. But when I got done, he came up to me and he said, "Oh, you like Patti Smith?" And I was like, "Oh, Larry, thank you so much." Because, I mean, Patti Smith was definitely a huge influence to me from the beginning. You know, I actually, you know, have met her and have, you know, seen her a bunch of times. And she's just someone that I really think is great.
Okay, you got to meet her then, huh?
Yeah.
Just for a couple minutes or...
Well,
longer than that.
A couple minutes. I mean, Patty's probably very,
well, yeah.
You know, wanted. She's got places to go, people to see. But yeah, it was amazing. And she, you know, she's actually really good friends with my dad, which, well, they used to be.
Wow.
My mom actually thinks that he married her because she looks like Patti Smith, which she kind of does. I mean, she's cooler. Just kidding.
Men my mom's do that cooler. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that he had like an adoration. My dad used to own a club in Ann Arbor called The Second Chance.
Really?
Yeah. And so lot of bands played there.
Wow.
Are you familiar?
I hate to admit it. I'm old enough to know about The Second Chance. Yes. Wow.
Yeah. So
back then, I remember it's like you either played there or the Blind Pig, pretty much.
Yeah, and now it's just the Blind Pig. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow.
MASH.
Or what?
MASH.
MASH?
Yeah, the basement of the bar. What is that place upstairs? It's called the MASH, though.
The MASH? Now, I'm not familiar with that. My sound engineer, Alan, he says the MASH, but I don't know.
The Monster MASH?
Yeah.
I know that one.
But I remember a lot of bands playing The Second Chance.
Yes, lot of bands.
Wow. So that's how they met, your dad and Patti Smith.
Yeah, I've met all sorts of characters through my dad from people who've played at his bar, including a clown named Django Edwards. And he is a very famous clown. Actually, last year or 2 years ago now, wow, it's been 2 years, I went to clown school. In France.
Because, in France?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
They do love clowns there, don't they?
Yeah, you know, clowns are very different in France and in Europe in general. The people would ask me, you know, clowns in France and Russia and Germany, they would come to me with such alarm. They would say, what is going on with the clowns in the United States? Why are they so terrifying? What is going on?
Yeah, they were originated to be very happy, you know, characters and people that would get along with kids, but they scare adults, some of them,
yeah.
The ones here in the U.S.
Yeah, and you know, clowns are very much the representation of the bothness or the duality, because clowns, they dwell in both emotions, extreme happiness and extreme sadness. They can dwell in the middle of that at the same time, and they're the only people who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a beautiful experience to really get into the philosophy of the clown and really understand, you know, their role in society, the sacred role in society, because there's been clowns in every society. And so they play a very sacred role. And I think we're afraid of clowns because we're afraid of death.
Well, it doesn't help that you have these movies out nowadays like It, you know, that kind of like ruin it for the rest of us clowns, right?
I know, right? It's just, we're just trying to clown around. But even It was kind of funny. I mean, if you can back away from
a little bit, yeah. Maybe not enough for some people, but
right.
I grew up on stuff like that. I mean, you probably heard from your parents about Bozo the Clown, you know.
Yeah, Bozo the Clown. He's a famous clown.
Yeah.
He's a clown.
So I remember watching it as a kid, you know, you'd sit down in front of the TV and the good old black and white TV it was. And, oh, yeah. And Melky. Yeah.
Melky?
Yeah. Melky the Clown. Yeah.
Aww.
He didn't last as long as Bozo, but at the time, back in that era, he was just as big and just as famous.
Right.
But Bozo was Canadian, right? That's where it originated.
Oh.
But because we're in Detroit, of course, a lot of stuff from Canada spills over to us, and that's how it works. But
lucky us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Canada's got some good stuff. I mean, Joni Mitchell's from Canada.
Is she? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that explains something, because I remember I used to work down at a bar in the Cass area, Wayne State University campus. And she actually, for a few years, Joni, that is, stayed in one of the places where the students hang out.
Get out of town.
Yeah, so she actually spent some time in Detroit for a while.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if it inspired any songs. I wonder.
Well, we can always ask her. I guess she's stopped doing music.
Yeah. You know, it's a sad thing. She says she spends her time painting now.
Yes.
Yeah. Because of capitalism, hey.
Well, we were talking about 5 or 10 minutes ago. Yeah. She feels the same way you do, so.
Yeah.
It sounds like you two are kindred spirits.
Wow, thank you so much for saying that. I know I already brought it up, but you can say it again. It's great.
You don't mind.
One more time.
What about you, Alex? Influence?
I started listening to Black Sabbath when I was in, like, sixth grade.
Ah. You had some older people in your life that said, hey, check this out, right?
Yeah, I thought that the guitar sounded really cool, and so I decided, hey, I'm going to play guitar too. And
sound like Tony Iommi?
Yeah, you know, just crank it all the way up and see what happens.
Cool.
So, from there, it was a natural progression, and now I do it as much as I can.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a good time back then, back when they didn't worry about making money.
Yeah, it must have been amazing. I mean, I'm trying to live that right now. You know, I have a job and I do other things to make money, but
yeah.
Music is just something sacred, in my opinion.
Well, you got to figure, bands like that, like they all came out around the same time, like Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin, and you know, they would have, within a year and a half, 2 years, they'd have three albums completed and done. And the tours. Now, if you can get the average large group to do an album every 7 or 8 years, you're doing good.
Yeah, it's true.
Know? And because it's all about, well, we got to make one as good if not, you know what I'm trying to come out with, better than the last one. You
yeah.
know? And it just ruins it all.
And better means, you know, more plays on, I'm assuming, like Spotify or I don't know, you know, just like plays in general or just fame. It's not really about like the creation of the art and what they're expressing. There are some new ones that I just love.
Yeah, but it's a lot harder to find them. You really got to do some searching.
That's so true.
Whereas when I was growing up, you just accidentally fell into them every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, lucky us, we can still listen to that. You know, we can still find that stuff and just, more. You know, it just keeps adding on and on and on. I mean, we can still listen to Stravinsky if we want to. So
this is true. They've really got it well. I mean, this is something they did, what, 300-400 years ago, and people are still checking them out?
Yeah. I mean, I heard that when Stravinsky first played Rite of Spring, that people just...
hated it.
They hated it, and not only that, but they, like, freaked out. They started mobbing.
Yeah.
Like, they tore this theater apart, and Stravinsky was found just, like, collapsed in a corner, just, like, crying. I don't know. It got weird.
Yeah.
Punk rock.
First punk rock.
Sounds like it, yeah. Or a metal show, yeah.
Mm-hmm. People just couldn't handle it. They weren't ready. I also went through a heavy Frank Zappa phase, which is probably not reflected at all in my music, but...
There's still time. You're young. You never know.
He kind of destroyed any concept of music that I had, and that was cool for me.
But he was a very talented man, though. I mean, some of the stuff he did was like right up there with the composers, with Stravinsky and the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's kind of how I found out about Stravinsky was through. I mean, Zappa introduced me to so many other types of music just because he didn't conform to any style. I mean, Zappa is his own creature.
Yeah, he was the last of the dying breed where the record company would tell him, you got to do this. I'm like, no.
Yeah, he had his own. He just bought his own. Actually, I think he's about to tour as a hologram. So.
Oh, we better stop while we're ahead.
You know what? But he wanted that.
Did he?
Yeah, he like has a whole bunch of footage that he wanted to be turned into holograms. So we're just living in a Zappa world. I don't know.
Yeah, Alan's reminding me they're using the technique that we created here at Henry Ford. It's like virtual reality theater.
No way! Wow, full circle.
Yeah, so we have actors that like actually perform on stage with holograms, basically.
Whoa.
To simplify
bizarre.
It. Yeah, but I guess Frank Zappa created something before his death to be done after his death, then I'm all for that. That's cool.
All right, cool.
But to just sit there and simply do a hologram of a prior recording or something just to make money, no.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, well, you know what? We're having such a great time here. We're getting away from the music. We better get back to it so we can squeeze the rest of this in.
Sure, can't wait.
All right, let's do it.
There's a fire. Oh, is it? Sorry. There's a fire burn. At the end of his toes, so he's gotta keep moving, keep pacing, keep tracing the grooves in his mind
dragging chains of voices that for others they speak softly. They only hear them in dreaming, but his roar violently. They won't stop screaming while he keeps tracing the grooves in his mind. Tracing the grooves in his mind. Tracing the grooves in his mind. He keeps tracing the condition is full of secrets, locking the door to his chest. Alone he rots in his bedroom, cursing and damning all the rest. A steel shield severs some sentiment, but surely it soothes something.
Live from Studio J, in the studio we have the band Sweet Demon. That was a track called Tracing the Grooves. Okay, well, we want to get two more in, right? I think we got time.
We can do one. I mean, the last one really uses a lot of E string, so it depends.
Okay, well, I don't want to make it too difficult on you, and I certainly, you know, if the song really does rely a lot on that high E, then we don't want you to do that.
What do you think, Alex?
I like this next one.
Yeah, me too. So, I mean, we could play it and then see how much time we have.
You
Yeah, because we got about 10 minutes, but why don't I ask you a couple of things real quick?
Sure.
For one thing, you handed me the CD. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be playing this on the air in the future. You are a deathless beauty.
That's right.
Where would our listeners go if they want to get a hold of this?
Sweetdemon.bandcamp.com.
Okay. And that's, and of course, your live performances. We've got to, you know, look for those in the future, right?
Yeah. I don't have any scheduled,
mm-hmm.
but I will say yes to anything.
Okay.
So if somebody all wants right. me to play.
Are you listening, people?
Keep an eye on the new Way Bar in Ferndale.
Yes.
Okay.
We might have a tentative show coming up there.
All right, but still TBH. Too early. What's that?
TBD.
TBD.
To be determined. Yes. Usually it's TBA, honest. Yeah, but okay. All right, so we'll just have to have our listeners keep an eye on your site. You have a Facebook site, of course, Sweet Demon.
Yes, I do have a Facebook site. I do not have an Instagram, however, but you can follow me on Instagram if you want. No. I have a Facebook. I usually post shows I'm playing on the Facebook.
It would make sense, right?
Yeah, I don't know why else I'd have it.
just so people can look at it needlessly, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the only release so far, right?
Yeah, we have some like demos that we recorded. I have some weird stuff on my Bandcamp that...
Frank Zappa style?
No.
No? Okay.
Like, I don't even know. It's just some... odd poetry type stuff. But Alex and I actually have another project that we work on. It's called The Bothness, and that's thebothness.bandcamp.com. And that's more of like a, it's like indie devotional music.
Indie devotional.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're kind of yogis a little bit, so.
All
we,
right.
We try to, you know.
So you definitely don't put yourself in the same category as like Christian rock, you know?
No. No, we do not.
This is a whole different thing, right?
Yeah, it's more like devotional in the way that like sacred chanting would be devotional, or when somebody does something they love, they're practicing a form of devotion.
Well, music like, falls in that category, right?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Alex?
I was going to say you could even compare it just to enjoying a sunset.
Yes. Ah, yes. Very much so.
The best things in life. And they are free. I know that's cliche, but it is true.
True.
Yeah, music is, that's one of the things I've always loved about music is it's free for the most part. I mean, yeah, you have to pay it if you want to get a physical copy, but for the most part, it's out there.
Here we are back to capitalism. You know, it just always loops back somehow. Oh,
damn.
Big Brother's always watching.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody more than us college radio stations.
Yes. So Big Brother, if you hear me, hello.
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah.
Really.
Don't worry.
Honestly.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all of your gifts.
For letting us do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Letting us live in this. This is your world. We just live in it.
But I've always brought this up, and one of the things I love about music is it's a universal language. Even if you don't... even if you come from a different country and you don't understand each other's language, you can unite with music.
Yeah, and dancing too, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that you can unite in expression, you know, and unite
heart.
In joy.
Yeah. So thank God we have that.
Yeah.
All right, so let me get this straight then. You're going to skip the last song on this?
Oh, no. The song that I was going to play next is called Misplaced Devotion, and then I was going to play an additional song to make up time, but I think we're good. I don't think that we're going to need...
the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that other song, where would that be available, or it's not?
I
think it's up there.
Yeah, it's on the Bandcamp.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just kind of its own thing.
So we'll just tell our listeners, hey, if you want more, then you're just going to have to go to Bandcamp.
Yeah. Feel free.
Do a little digging.
All right. So, Rose, Alex, thanks again for coming down and hanging out with me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having us. We enjoyed
Thank
it as
you.
Well.
All right. So, once again, one more time for our WHFR listeners, the band Sweet Demon and the place, that, rather, the song Misplaced Devotion.
Oh, that's not it. Am I out of tune? No, that was you. Oh. Okay. One, two.
Live radio, four. Folks.
Suffering's been my teacher before, but I've never lost something that I've adored more. Karmic ties I've felt alive, thought we saw the same sky. Why did we have to say goodbye? If you love me, then do it. Sick of hanging around wondering when you'll get to it. And I don't recognize you when you're wicked, because you're not wicked.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.